Nemoto presents Scientific Giants. Lise Meitner, Fission and the Burden of Insight. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Ava voice. Running time, approximately 15 minutes. There are lives that demonstrate the greatness of science, and there are lives that reveal the price science sometimes demands, especially when the world decides that a mind is less valuable because of a name, a gender, or a heritage. Lise Meitner's life contains both. Her story is not only a scientific story, though her science was immense. It is a story of exile and erasure, of brilliance made to work in the shadow of institutions that could not fully admit what they owed her. And it is a story of a discovery that did not arrive as pure triumph because it opened a door to power that human beings were not ready to hold. Meitner was born in Vienna in 1878 into a Jewish family at a time when the doors of formal education for women were mostly closed. In the Austria of her youth, girls could not simply enroll in university. Even when rules shifted, the culture remained hostile. A woman who wanted physics had to want it enough to endure not being wanted. Meitner wanted it enough. She studied privately and fought her way into the University of Vienna, where she became one of the first women to earn a doctorate in physics there in 1906 under Ludwig Boltzmann. Boltzmann was a towering figure, a man who had battled for the statistical interpretation of thermodynamics and who carried, in his own life, the psychological cost of being right too early and opposed too fiercely. Meitner absorbed from him not only technical skill but a certain courage, the willingness to pursue a truth even when the world is slow to recognize it. After Boltzmann's death, Meitner moved to Berlin because that was where the new physics was gathering force. Berlin was a center of scientific power, but it was not welcoming. Women were often barred from formal positions. Laboratories were male territory. Meitner, despite her doctorate and talent, was not treated as a full participant. She found work where she could, sometimes unpaid, sometimes in marginal spaces, literal marginal spaces. For a period, she worked in a basement laboratory because she was not allowed in the main institute. This is one of the recurring humiliations in the history of science. The world will accept the products of a mind while denying the mind a place to stand. In Berlin, Meitner began a scientific partnership that would shape her career. She met Otto Hahn, a chemist. Their collaboration became one of the most productive in early nuclear science. Hahn had deep chemical skill and an experimental discipline. Meitner had physical insight, a talent for interpreting results and understanding the forces at work in the nucleus. Together, they studied radioactivity, the decay processes discovered and explored by Curie, Rutherford, and others. They worked in a field that was being born in real time, the study of the atom's inner instability, the strange fact that certain elements transform, emitting energy and particles. Meitner became a central figure in this work. She helped identify and characterize radioactive isotopes. She contributed to the understanding of beta decay and nuclear transitions. She built an intellectual bridge between chemistry's handling of substances and physics' handling of forces and energy. And she did it while navigating a professional world that treated her as an exception at best and an inconvenience at worst. Over time, her status improved. She became, eventually, the first woman to become a full professor of physics in Germany, and she gained recognition in the scientific community. Yet the recognition was always fragile, always conditional on the world remaining sane. The world did not remain sane. In 1933, Hitler came to power. The Nazi regime began its systematic assault on Jewish citizens, on political opponents, on institutions of free thought. Many Jewish scientists fled immediately. Meitner, an Austrian citizen at first, was in a temporarily complicated position. Austria had not yet been annexed. She remained in Berlin, partly because her work was there, partly because she had built a life there, partly because leaving is not always a clean choice even when danger is rising. But the noose tightened. In 1938, Germany annexed Austria. Suddenly, Meitner was no longer protected by foreign citizenship. She became a Jewish scientist in Nazi Germany with no shield. Friends and colleagues helped her escape in a tense and dangerous journey. She fled across the border to the Netherlands and then to Sweden. She left behind her laboratory, her position, and much of her professional identity. Exile is not only a change of location. It is a tearing of continuity. It is the loss of daily language, of familiar tools, of the quiet infrastructure that makes thought possible. In Sweden, Meitner found safety, but not welcome. The Swedish scientific environment did not offer her a position commensurate with her stature. She was given space and modest support, but she was isolated. She was removed from the very laboratory culture she had helped build. She had escaped death, but she had not escaped marginalization. And then came the discovery that would define her legacy in the public imagination: nuclear fission. In the late 1930s, scientists were bombarding uranium with neutrons, trying to create heavier elements, transuranic elements beyond uranium. Enrico Fermi and others had done early work in this direction. Hahn and Fritz Strassmann in Berlin continued these experiments, producing puzzling chemical results. They found barium among the products, an element much lighter than uranium. This made no sense within the expected framework. If uranium was absorbing neutrons, it should become heavier, not split into something much lighter. Hahn wrote to Meitner, still trusting her physical insight even as she was exiled. Their correspondence continued. Meitner, working with her nephew Otto Frisch, began to analyze what the results might mean. During a winter walk, one of those moments in science that become symbolic because it shows how thought can occur even in displacement, Meitner and Frisch realized the possibility that uranium nuclei were not merely rearranging, they were splitting. If the uranium nucleus splits into two smaller nuclei, such as barium and krypton, the mass difference could be converted into energy according to Einstein's relation, equals mc squared. The energy release would be enormous compared to chemical reactions because it comes from nuclear binding energy. Meitner and Frisch calculated the expected energy and found it matched the scale implied by experiments. Frisch coined the term fission, borrowing from biology, because the nucleus was behaving like a cell dividing. This was the explanation that made the strange chemistry intelligible. Hahn and Strassmann had produced the crucial experimental evidence. But it was Meitner and Frisch who provided the physical interpretation that revealed the phenomenon's meaning. Without that interpretation, the chemical products would have remained a puzzling list. With it, the world suddenly understood that the atom's nucleus could be broken apart in a way that releases vast energy. This is the core of Meitner's burden. She understood what had been discovered. She also understood, quickly, what it could become. The political context mattered. Europe was on the edge of war. Scientists knew that if fission could produce enormous energy, it might also produce enormous destruction. The possibility of a chain reaction, where neutrons released by one fission event trigger more fissions, suggested that an explosive release of energy was conceivable. The idea of an atomic bomb was not yet a device, but it was no longer fantasy. Meitner was not a person who could look away from consequences. She was deeply committed to science, but she was also morally serious. She would later refuse to work on bomb projects and would describe herself, painfully, as having had nothing to do with the bomb. Yet she could not avoid the knowledge that her understanding helped make the new reality visible. She had explained a door that others would rush through. Then came the cruel twist of recognition. In 1944, the Nobel Prize in Chemistry was awarded to Otto Hahn for the discovery of fission. Meitner was not included. This omission has become one of the most famous and debated injustices in Nobel history. The reasons are tangled: disciplinary boundaries, wartime politics, institutional biases, and the fact that Meitner was an exile and not part of the German scientific establishment at the time. But whatever the causes, the result was the same. The prize told the world a story that was incomplete. It elevated Hahn as the lone discoverer and left Meitner's role largely invisible to the public. Hahn himself had a complicated relationship to this. He had relied on Meitner's insight for years. He knew her significance. But the culture of recognition in that era, especially toward women and Jews, was distorted. Meitner, dignified and proud, felt the erasure sharply. Yet she did not spend her life chasing prizes. She wanted the truth of her work to be recognized, but she also understood something deeper. Institutions often distribute honor according to their own needs, not according to reality. During and after the war, Meitner's moral seriousness became even more evident. She was invited, in public imagination, to be the mother of the atom bomb, a label she rejected. She had not participated in the Manhattan Project. She had not built the weapon. She had, however, explained the phenomenon that made it possible. That distinction mattered to her, and it mattered ethically, but the world rarely respects distinctions when it wants a simple story. Meitner also criticized, after the war, the German scientific community for its accommodation and silence. She believed many had failed morally, not only by working for the regime, but by not resisting openly. She did not speak from a position of naive purity. She spoke from the position of a person who had been forced out and who had watched colleagues adapt in order to survive or advance. Her criticism was not comfortable, and comfort was not her aim. Scientifically, Meitner continued working for years, contributing to nuclear physics and mentoring younger scientists. She spent time in Sweden and later moved to Britain, living near family. She remained intellectually engaged, respected by many colleagues, and slowly, over decades, her role in Fission became more widely acknowledged. Elements and institutions were named in her honor. Historians and scientists began telling a more complete story. But if you want to understand her, you should not end with the correction of the record, as if that were enough. You should sit with the human reality. Meitner gave her life to physics in a world that repeatedly told her she did not belong. She built knowledge in basements and margins, and when she finally stood near the center, history pushed her out with violence. From exile, she helped interpret one of the most consequential discoveries of the 20th century, and then watched recognition flow elsewhere. And she lived long enough to see that discovery become a weapon that reshaped geopolitics and threatened civilization. This is why her story is not only about fission. It is about the burden of insight. There are discoveries that give the discoverer joy and pride. There are discoveries that give the discoverer power. And there are discoveries that give the discoverer a moral weight that cannot be shrugged off. Meitner carried that weight with a kind of stern honesty. She did not romanticize the bomb. She did not claim innocence where she had provided understanding. But she also refused to be claimed as a maker of destruction when her role had been to explain a phenomenon, not to weaponize it. If you want a scene that carries her temperament, picture her leaving Berlin in 1938, carrying almost nothing, crossing borders under threat, stepping into exile with the knowledge that her life's work was being taken from her. Then picture her months later, in Sweden's cold isolation, receiving letters with experimental results from the laboratory she can no longer enter. She reads the chemistry, barium where there should be heavier elements, and she does what she has always done. She insists that the result must mean something coherent. She goes for a walk, and in the simple rhythm of movement and thought, the idea arrives. The nucleus can split. She calculates the energy. She sees the reality. She names it. She feels, at once, the satisfaction of understanding and the dread of consequence. You have been listening to Scientific Giants Who Changed Our Understanding of the World We Live In. Today we followed Lise Meitner from the margins of Vienna and Berlin into exile, and we watched her explain nuclear fission while others claimed the credit, and we confronted the moral weight that can come with seeing clearly. In our next episode, we will meet Qian Xingwu, whose precision experiments overturned a sacred symmetry of physics and revealed how easily recognition can fall out of symmetry with talent. Until then, Thank you for your attention and your time. This episode was written as a continuous story for the year. If it moved you, bring a friend along next time. Until our next hour together, remember that discovery is not only a triumph of mind. It is also a test of character, because the world you reveal will not always become the world you wanted.